Welcome today to our interview series with Outstanding Professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Crystal Fries, innovating Microsoft Windows 8 app developer. Crystal, thank you for coming in today and sharing your deep experiences with our audience.
My pleasure, Stephen. Thank you for having me.
Crystal, I've had the opportunity to look at your background, and you know, you've done some remarkable things lately. So can you profile your top successes?
Yes. Well, out of all the apps I do have, my iTunes fan app and Call of Duty Ghost, and I have a game called Learning Spanish. Those are probably my top three successes.
Now, what are the best online resources to use as a developer?
Oh my goodness, there's tons. I use the Dev Center a lot. MSDN has countless wonderful online tutorials as well. And Bob Tabor, he's a pretty awesome guy too, as far as learning C# and everything that comes along with building apps, especially when you're a newbie like I am. Those are probably some of my best online resources that I use as a developer.
Now, I'm really curious then, what sort of got you into becoming a developer? Can you sort of do a brief sort of profile of what you did prior to this, and then what sort of got you interested in being a developer?
Yes. Well, at school, which I'm a student, I'm a senior at UALR in here in Little Rock, Arkansas, and last semester, I believe it was, yes, last semester I had a C# class, and our professor is the one who got us into developing apps. It wasn't about, you know, at the end of the semester taking a final and, you know, but taking a test and making a grade. Instead of doing that, she wanted us to develop apps and get them into the marketplace. And that was what our final grade was based on. So that's how we got started with this. And it just kind of took off from there.
Now, what special technical tips can you provide when developing apps?
Well, as far as technical, anytime there's a workshop that's in your area, I recommend going to it. We've had several since I've started coding and developing apps this year. We actually have one coming up here in the next couple weeks. And also, too, be sure to save all your work in your SkyDrive folder. I've had this happen before with apps that I've built and got put in the marketplace, and then later on I needed that code and I didn't save my code. So saving your code is extremely important when you're developing your apps, because you never know when you'll need it again. And also, when in doubt, you can always refer back to Bob Tabor and his tutorials. Also, another technical tip is when you're building apps, you can cross-platform your apps. So if you build an app in Windows 8 stores, then you can implement that code and put it into your Windows Phone 8 marketplace. And so technically, you're getting two for one. Another deal, it's not really technical, but something that we've all learned over this past year with our team and building apps and developing, it's not really technical, but it's about working smarter, not harder. we've really worked really hard in developing our apps and spent a lot of hours spent on this. So it's definitely work smarter, not harder.
Now, from your personal perspective then, what are the major challenges when developing apps?
Well, for me, as a newcomer, it's frustrating when you build your app and you spend all this time, you know, putting it together and then uploading it to the marketplace, and it comes back, you know, X amount of days later, and it failed. Your certification failed. And for me personally, in school, when we were building our apps, starting to build our apps even for class, I personally had a really tough time in the beginning and not knowing, you know, when it comes back and it's failed, they let you know, there's why it failed, but at the same time, that it could be countless different reasons. And just having to learn the do's and don'ts, you know, as far as building apps. Also, trying to come up with just innovative ideas in the marketplace. You know, I don't want to build an app that, you know, I wouldn't want to download. So it's about coming up with new ideas. There's a lot of really great apps out there. So
I was just wondering if you can drill down further into what, you know, special developer techniques you are using in your latest app.
Well, in my latest app, since I've been given this BizSpark grant, I'm actually building an app that I'm trying to implement a speech into it. And hang on one second, I'm sorry. But yeah, I'm trying to build speech into the app, and obviously being on BizSpark, the app itself will also be implemented into the Azure cloud. So that's something I've been working on all week long, actually, and it's been kind of frustrating, but I'm getting there. And basically, I want to be able to let the user itself, you know, have to do the least amount, you know, of work themselves as possible, and they can just hopefully speak, and then the app itself will implement and do everything on its own. So we'll see how that works out.
Can you tell me more about this speech app? Like, what is it supposed to do?
Well, I mean, not giving it away because I don't want to give out my ideas to someone else, but essentially it would be speaking and then it would be translating into different languages. Does that tell you anything?
Now, what are the major benefits in being part of BizSpark?
Well, there's a lot of benefits as far as being a part of BizSpark. Number one, you know, thanks to Dr. Jensen, who is with Microsoft, you know, came to me and offered me this grant completely, you know, threw me off guard. I was honored. And with BizSpark, since I'm a DreamSpark right now building apps because I am a student, when I graduate next spring, you know, my DreamSpark account is soon to be expired. And even though I could, you know, continue on and pay for that developing with the BizSpark account, I won't have to do that. I can just now transfer everything over. And then also, too, I'll be a business entrepreneur, essentially, you know, having a business license. And plus, BizSpark gives numerous, countless software that we can use, you know, obviously to build the apps. And that's also given as a part of the BizSpark account and all that, you know, at no cost to me. And that's quite a bit. It's a really big grant, and it's pretty special.
Now, can you describe the value in being part of this power team?
Well, working in a team environment is rewarding in itself, because even though we collaborate in such a small team, we do have that, you know, we made great strides in the amount of apps that we were able to get in the marketplace over this past year in such a short period of time. But also, it makes you want to work harder because they're also your closest competition. But it's all about teamwork and building relationships with others and just, you know, learning, gaining knowledge because you are working with other people.
Now, what are your recommended Microsoft technologies and why?
All right, well, Microsoft technologies, I'm a big Microsoft fan, and SkyDrive, number one, it's a lifesaver, finding your files anywhere, anytime, no matter where you're at, and you know it's always there. As far as more technologies, cell phones, number one is my Nokia cell phone, which actually it broke, so I'm waiting on my new one to come in. It's great for testing your app as well. You can, as a developer, you know, you can use your phone to do that, and that's a great tool. Windows Surface is another technology. I have one of those that I received from Microsoft this past year, and that's great too, you know, especially when you don't want to tote, you know, your big laptop around. That's a great tool. You can use your TeamViewer, you know, to home in on your home computer while you're away from your office or your house. Azure is another great technology. Just, you know, my Hotmail account, of course, it links into everything that has to do with Microsoft. Of course, you know, Visual Studio is great. Can't build apps without Visual Studio. Windows 8 is an awesome technology. The live tiles makes everything like the platform is so much smoother and so much better than the previous ones that they've put out. There's a lot of great technologies at Microsoft.
Now, in your profile, you talk about you mentor non-traditional students. What does that mean? How do you mentor non-traditional students? And what are non-traditional students?
Well, Stephen, UVALR has a wonderful non-traditional student peer monitoring program. And, of course, a non-traditional student is someone who did not go to college right after high school. So it's typically, you know, older people. People who have come back to college or never been to college, like myself. The purpose of the program at UALR is to provide one-on-one assistance to the fellow alumni, and it aids in their transition to their academic environment. A lot of times, non-traditional people, you know, they're timid, you know. I mean, they're not used to the college campus and everything. And as a mentor, it's my duty to draw from my experiences, and that way I can offer encouragement and support to my mentee. I am their connection to the university, the campus, whether it's helping the mentee learn the campus or just remind them about important dates like scholarships and applications and things of that sort. But mostly it's being that person's rock that can impact the mentee's self-confidence and their success academically and the encourager that may actually keep the person in school. Non-traditional students typically have a tougher time graduating versus traditional students, and it's our goal at UALR to make sure everybody leaves after graduating and not before.
Now, you've received some scholarships in your past life, and can you describe the scholarships you've received?
Yes. Well, going into school as a freshman, of course, I was a non-traditional student, and first, a couple of semesters having to take out loans and everything to pay for school. But I worked really hard and made some goals and met the goals. And so Arkansas recently came up with a scholarship lottery. They gave us a lottery down here, and they applied that money to scholarships for students here in Arkansas. So when that first came out the first semester, I was recipient for that scholarship, which was pretty hard to get because a traditional student automatically got it, providing they did all the applications correctly. But a non-traditional student, only so many received it. And so I've received that lottery scholarship every year, every semester. I also received a Gibson and Duncan Trust scholarship while I was at Pulaski Technical College, which was my first college, and that was actually a private scholarship I received from Mueller. And then also a Shelby Breedlove scholarship. That was after I was graduating from my first school. It's a transfer scholarship. So that paid my way for my last 2 years at UALR. And then my recent one was the one I received from my senior year, which was the Luis and Jack T. Lynn scholarship. It's awarded solely to only one student that must be a junior or senior in the College of Business at UALR, and I'm the one that received that.
Now, you talked about going to other or having other paths in your educational background. Can you describe that? Was it technical, non-technical?
It was non-technical. It was just basically the first 2 years of my education. You know, first general, and then once I moved on to UALR, then I was able to claim my major. So the first 2 years was just at a kind of a cheaper school, we'll say that. It was less expensive. And then when I was there, I was able to graduate with honors, and I received the Associate of Arts and Associate of Science while I was there.
You know, you're entering into an interesting profession, that's computing, and there's other professions out there like medicine, law, accounting, engineering, and so on. Do you feel computing should be a recognized profession on par with some of the others, with demonstrated professional development, adherence to code of ethics, personal responsibility, public accountability, quality assurance, and recognized credentials?
Well, yes and no. I do think that ethics and personal responsibility, quality assurance, public accountability, all of those are extremely important. So on that aspect, yes, I do think that it should. But as far as recognized credentials, that's where it's kind of a fine line for me. Doctors must attend almost an entire decade of schooling to achieve their credentials. But computing is different, you know. Do I need a piece of paper if I can go out and build an app using all the tools that's required? Do I need a piece of paper to recognize that I know how to do that? So that's where I kind of draw the line. But, yes, I do think that computing should be recognized as a profession, for sure.
Now, you indicated you're a non-traditional student in that you came back into school, into an academic life a little bit later than perhaps some other students. From all the things that you've done, the scholarships that you won, your life experiences, your leadership in developing applications and how you've been recognized in that role, do you have any stories you want to share?
Sure. Actually, recently, when this past semester let out and summer was beginning, this is a funny story, actually. The people I'm involved with at school that's a part of our team building apps, school was let out, and we spent almost 2 weeks, coming into school when summer was out and building apps with Microsoft. And one of our students, actually, this is how dedicated we all are. One of our students, while the rest of us are bringing our laptops up, or our Microsoft surfaces, to develop our apps, she was so dedicated. Of course, the campus is big, so she doesn't have a laptop. She brought her home computer every time, and she lugged it all the way across the campus, and she lugged it all the way up 3 flights of stairs into the room that we were developing our apps in. But her home computer was one of those that's built in one, so we got really tickled at her, because every day this little girl comes, she's a petite girl, comes bring comes up, letting her big home computer, she could sit it on the desk and help us develop apps. As far as my college experience, it's certainly been an amazing adventure. I wish that, you know, I would have gone when I was younger, just so I could have really enjoyed the experience a lot more than I've been able to. When you're a non-traditional student, you know, you have a lot more responsibilities, I think, than most traditional students have. And so having to work full-time and go to school full-time, you know, it's been really busy, and I can't wait to catch up on a lot and make me sleep and have more hours in the day to myself. But at the same time, it's been a great adventure. And certainly one of my most recent surprises and unexpected stories is, you know, just being here with you guys and in this interview and meeting Dr. Jensen with Microsoft and just everything that he's brought to the table for me. And I couldn't have asked for anything better. I mean, it's been really, really great.
We're down to our last question, and this is where I sort of turn the tables in that I'm asking you, if you were conducting this interview, what questions would you ask, and then what would be your answers?
Okay. Well, I guess, to start off, you know, I'll maybe ask how long have I been a developer, and the answer to that is not even a year. And also with, you know, the extent of the knowledge and how did I learn to build the app, you know, where did I get those tools from? And, you know, we've kind of touched on this before, but, you know, I started off in my C# class, learning how to develop apps and, of course, workshops, the hackathons that come to our area, to our school, but mostly on my own, also researching a lot and lots of tutorials and trial and error. And also I would think to ask maybe, what do you think about more women coming into the IT profession, which is predominantly male? My answer to that is, you know, I think women should be empowered to do whatever they want, obviously, and that's another reason I can't thank Dr. Jensen enough for him setting, you know, me aside and seeing in me what a lot of the males, you know, can do, and the women can do it too, but I do see that, you know, women are not as chosen as more so as the men are. Kind of on the back burner, it seems sometimes, but at the same time, you know, I can run with the best of them too. And I think that, you know, with the IT profession growing as much as it is, you'll see a lot more women, and I think that's fantastic. Women are really smart.
Well, Crystal, you know, you're this non-traditional student who's had amazing success, winning scholarships, doing so well, developing apps, being recognized by Brad Jensen, for example, because of your outstanding leadership and app development. And I know your schedule is really demanding, so thank you for coming in today and sharing your experiences with the audience.
Thank you so much, Stephen. It's been a pleasure.
I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and this concludes our exclusive interview with Crystal Fries, Innovating Microsoft Windows 8 App Developer.